Welcome to Biceps and Banter with expert trainer Brandon Crow. Hold on to your dumbbells and get ready for this conversational style podcast focused on interesting everyday dribble with tasty tidbits of health-related information sprinkled in. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Biceps and Banter. I'm here with the one and only Noah Schwartz of N-Fitness. He can be found at N-Fitness2017 on Instagram. And we had an absolutely awesome conversation about training, nutrition, fasting, and intermittent fasting. So make sure you listen right to the end so you don't miss any nuggets. And if you enjoyed the episode, you can do me a huge favor and subscribe on iTunes, and even writing me a review would really, really help. So without any further delay, here's the interview, and enjoy.
Yeah, that's actually good right there. Yeah.
I usually go 4 to 6 hours after I wake up. So wake up at 6:30, I'll eat between 10:30 and 12:30. If I'm very, very distracted, I could go probably the 6 to the 12:30, even 1:30. Mm-hmm. Like on Saturdays, I wake up at 8:30, 9, and I have my clients, my boot camp and everything, I go to 2 or 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But I only go 4 to 6. I don't really do the 16 to 8. I just value it as, in the end, it's calories in, calories out, so I kind of just use as a smaller window to get my calories in. Whereas before, when I was playing sports, I was like, okay, I'm waking up at 8 a.m., I'm having a bowl of oatmeal right away, 800 calories in, and I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I'm done 800 calories already. Mm-hmm. Right? So now it's just like, okay, kind of my first calorie around 11, 12 o'clock, eat again at 3:30, eat again at dinner, and that gets me, like, that's why I've been losing weight.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you, during that time, are you measuring your calories for the day? Or are you just kind of eyeballing?
My Fitness Pal.
Okay.
So,
So you do My Fitness Pal.
Yeah. So, when I, my last year before hockey, before, like when I had my last final tryout with a pro hockey team, I hired this nutritionist. I was 200 pounds. I'm never fat. I was just very, very bulky from playing hockey, from eating a ton, from lifting heavy weights. So I hired this lady, and it was all about macronutrients. It fixed your macros. It had nothing to do with, yeah, she was like, eat quality food, but it was all about, okay, I think it was like, I was eating like 220 carbs, 190 a gram per body weight, protein, right, and like 60, 65 grams of fat. And that made me so stressed. I was like, okay, like at 8 o'clock, I was like, oh my God, I only have 2 carbs left. What the hell am I going to do? Now that I'm like so familiar with how everything works, I stopped playing hockey around November, started my business around December, January 1st. And I just stopped doing My Fitness Pal. I kind of knew what I was eating. I knew portion size. It was always about portion size. I was always a healthy eater, but I always ate way too much of the walnuts, of the almonds, of the stuff that was really healthy. And that's why I was like, why am I not losing weight? I'm so healthy. What's going on? And then I started, okay, it's all portion sizes. And now that I don't play hockey, I'm not as active. So I really, really cut down on portion size. And I'm not as hungry. When I played hockey, I was hungry every 2 seconds, right? So I downloaded actually My Fitness Pal again about only a month ago. And just to control my weight, just to control everything. I eyeball a ton of stuff. I barely weigh anything. If I'm 400 calories off on a day, who cares? I know I've been maintaining my weight for the last 3 or 4 months. I'm very happy. I'm down 180 pounds now, and it's always within the range of 180 to 183, and I'm able to enjoy way bigger meals because that's what I enjoy. I hated eating small meals. I was always hungry. So I started fasting. I tried it at the beginning, and then I just said, I'm doing it. Like, I'm distracted for maybe 3-4 hours in the morning. Might as well. Never drink coffee before. Now I drink coffee every day. I need it. Mm-hmm. And the black coffee helped me curb my appetite, and it has allowed me to go from 195, 198, or whatever, 200, to like 180, 183, consistent. And I feel good. Yeah. I was always a bulky guy. At 5'9", I can't be 200 pounds. I was never fat, ever in my life. I was just really, really strong, ate a ton, and I was always in a calorie surplus. And then I realized that I need to get into a calorie deficit. Didn't change anything I ate, just cut down the portion size, just kept dropping, dropping, dropping. Now I know where I'm at. I know how many calories I'm supposed to eat. I eyeball basically everything, and I'm able to like feast. And I never was able to do that before. I was feasting, but I wasn't losing weight because I was going over my calories no matter how healthy the foods were. So I started that. Yeah. And I know you do that too.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you fast, but I'm not really big into the science of fasting of, okay, 16-8 every single day. I feel that will sometimes bite you in the butt.
Yes.
Because of the social aspect.
Yeah.
Oh, I finished eating 8 o'clock. I absolutely cannot eat until it hits one, whatever the 16 hours is. And you never know. You could have a dinner that night with friends. I'm just all about 4 to 6 hours after I wake up.
Yeah.
And I eat right till I go to bed. I don't care if I eat at 12:30. After hockey, I have a hockey game at 10 o'clock, a men's league game. Get back at 12 o'clock, I'm eating.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm not stopping.
Yeah.
And I'll eat and I'll continue the same. I will for sure go to 12 hours. This is a good point. I for sure go to 12 hours. So if I say I eat at midnight, I automatically, no matter when I wake up, even if it's still the 6:30, I'll get to that 12 o'clock. So it's for sure 12 hours, but the 4 to 6 hours after I wake up.
Right.
If it's kind of complicated, yeah. But.
Do you put anything in your coffee or are you just black?
Just black.
Yeah.
I'm totally, I do. Right when I wake up, before I get to my clients at 7 a.m. every morning, you see me probably 5 days a week. I wake up, water with apple cider vinegar and lemon. That's it. I finish my session in the morning. I go to Starbucks. I go wherever, or I have my coffee at my house, black coffee. And then whenever it hits 10:30, if I'm really, really bored and I really feel I'm getting hungry, I'm eating. I don't follow that 16-8. I'm getting 4 hours. I'm eating my first calorie by 10:30. And again, it helps that I work in the evening too. So I say I leave the house at 4 o'clock. I'm not eating again until 8 o'clock. So, but before when I was at school and I was eating 6-7 meals a day, I was already at like 1500 calories at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And never allowed me to lose weight. Yeah. So, and I love eating. I love eating. I love eating big meals. My dinners are so much more enjoyable now. Whereas before I was eating, okay, I'm gonna have chicken and broccoli. Like, it's a basic meal. It's like, I really got to control. Now I know I have like 1,000, 1,200, 1,300 calories for dinner and I'm not gaining a pound. I look better. I feel better. I'm always going to have my hip problems from hockey, but I'm just saying body-wise, body composition-wise, I've never felt or looked better.
Yeah, man.
Since the last 10 years.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way too. And yeah. I'm able to maintain my weight around 195.
Yeah.
In between 190 and 195.
And that's a good ideal weight for you.
It feels good. And it feels like I can go out for runs and it feels like I'm lighter. And because just like you, I might have been, I was never fat, but maybe a bit bulky. I was, I think, 210, 215. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit bulky.
Well, you got to a lot of stuff you got to mention to people is that lifting heavy does not make you bulky. If you eat excess calories, that's what's make you bulky. And people need to understand that because a lot of my clients are, I don't want to lift weights. I don't lift heavy. Again, my philosophy, as you know, is all sport specific. I won't do any heavy squats, heavy deadlifts or whatever. But I'm saying for the normal individual that likes doing the bodybuilding stuff, it's not lifting heavy that makes you bulky. This is my opinion, and this is what I read and I research. It's the excess calories, right? It's the cupcakes you eat. It's the McDonald's you eat. It's the, if you're gonna go over your calories continuously, time after time, it adds up 0.5 pounds, 0.5 pounds, 1 pound, whatever. It all adds up. It's like losing weight. If you have a client that wants to lose 20 pounds, the client can't just say, I'm gonna lose 20 pounds. Let's take it 20 weeks. Let's take it 1 pound at a time. It'll be a healthy weight. And that's how I picture it. I'm always big picture. Same thing with when I played hockey or sports. It's always throughout the entire, whatever game, how many games you played in the regular season.
Yeah.
It's not just one game, it's not seven. It's over the past 50 games. Are you going to finish third, fourth, or whatever? It's not just one game. If you're last place for the first three games, who cares? Look at the baseball season. The first 20 games don't even matter, basically, right? So.
Yeah. I want to touch on your hockey career, too, a little bit. You mentioned you had professional tryouts. Like, at what level professional?
So I played AAA my whole life. I played junior A for my junior career. I played in the OHL for a very short time, like 4 or 5 games. And I played for Western University, CIS. And then I got a pro opportunity with the Florida Everblades, which is the East Coast, which is, it goes NHL, AHL, and then East Coast. And this was Carolina Hurricanes farm team. Didn't work out. I was on an amateur tryout opportunity, kind of like a PTO, like a professional tryout opportunity like people get. Didn't work out, and I think it was for the better. I torn ligaments in my hips even when during the tryouts. I gave it one more shot. I was like, why not? Didn't work out. Came home. I was like, I want to be a trainer. I want to be a fitness coach. I want to help people my age, the young professionals, and thought it was going to be a short time, a part-time job, and then it just word of mouth, everything has been amazing first year, and I'm happy. Like, I still love hockey, but it's just not the same without playing competitively. So played hockey my whole life, loved it, worked out too hard. I guess I used my mileage up early. That's what people tell me. And was always a crazy workout guy, so into nutrition. I think I took it too seriously. I kind of regret it in some way because I would never take recovery days or whatever. And now that I'm a trainer, I preach recovery so well, so much. And that's like every client I go, you are not coming to me back-to-back days. You are not, you are taking a day off, and they're seeing results because they're actually taking that day of recovery. I didn't. I was dumb. I regret a lot of stuff I did in my hockey career. I worked so hard, but in the end, it used my mileage up way too early, and I'm only 26 now, and I have bad hips at 26. So I preach a lot of things to my clients: recovery, nutrition, hydration, rolling out, stretching, and everything. Stuff I did, but not consistently. So it's all about nutrition. I kind of go nutrition, hydration, and then fitness. And then after that, it all adds up. So if you're not doing the nutrition part, you're not gonna see results no matter what. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll feel better doing the fitness part, but you will not, your body composition will change really at all. And if it does, very, very slowly, you won't get to your goals as fast as you want it to be.
That's right.
So I take nutrition more seriously than I do the fitness part almost.
Do you also advocate fasting to your clients, or do you do it like individual basis?
I always say try it. It doesn't work for everyone. Like for example, my girlfriend's tried it. She can't do it. She just gets headaches. She doesn't want to do it. I say, okay. But I say to people, if you have to eat, eat. It's just my preference. I love big meals. I love enjoying my meals. I could monitor my calories with doing that. Some people actually can't handle it. Intermittent fasting is not a magical weight loss tool. It's not. Because I know a lot of people think by fasting and eating their first calorie by whatever, 11, 12, or 1 o'clock, they can do whatever they want. They can have 3,000 calories. It just doesn't work that way. Still, calories in, calories out. I feel like a calorie at 3 o'clock in p.m. is the same thing as a calorie at 10 p.m. As long as you get your macros in, your calories in, your weight won't change, or you'll lose weight, whatever your goals are. So it doesn't work for everyone. A lot of people on my Instagram always mess with me, how do you do it, what do you do? I just say, try this to start. If it doesn't work, you don't have to. Just know how many calories you're supposed to eat in a day, monitor it, see what your weight's at week after week, and see how it grows or goes down or whatever your goals are.
Yeah.
So
I like that approach. You're very like open to different approaches, and not even, like you were mentioning, not even necessarily the 16-hour window.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody can't do a 16-hour fast, mm-hmm. you know, you can break it down to maybe a 10 or 12-hour fast. Whereas most people are used to the small meals throughout the entire day. So you have to start somebody slow on a fasting approach, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like coming from being an athlete, like I said at the beginning, I knew every breakfast was so important. Right when I woke up on game day, or even on a normal day, I would wake up, have the same thing every morning. I would have a huge bowl of oatmeal. Like I would put so much stuff in it, berries, banana, everything. And by 8 a.m., I was at, I don't know, 700 to 1,000 calories without even knowing. And if I did that now, I'd be having at 12, being full until 4, and I'd have like 1,500 calories for dinner, whereas I was probably eating my second meal by 10 or 11 o'clock. Mm. I was already probably at my daily limit by dinner time, and I'm just going over and over and over. Yeah, I was burning a lot more calories because I was training really hard and playing a high-level sport, but I was still going over no matter what, and that's why I was just maintaining my weight or even gaining a 0.2, 0.3 at a time. It just didn't work that way.
Do you find it hard to hit your calories now? Like on the flip side of things, say for instance, your calories are 2,500 or 3,000 for the day. Do you find it's a struggle by the time you get to 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m. and you're only, say for instance, at 1,500 or 2,000 calories, or you don't really have a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem. And if I do, then whatever. If I only eat 2,000 a day, like I don't stress anymore. When I had that nutritionist, I stressed every day. Get exactly what she said. Hit my macros. If I only have one carb left, I can never go over. It made me way too stressed. I was always like, okay, I'm not going to eat for 3 more hours because I only have 2 carbs left, right? I couldn't enjoy it. Now I know how much I'm supposed to eat. I know that I don't really count the macros that much. If I'm going to work out, I'll have more carbs on a day. If I'm not, I'm going to have just a little bit less carbs. And a lot of people think that carbs aren't good for you. Carbs are probably the most important thing. Even like you just need it for fuel. You need it for your brain. You need it for everything. I'm always 35% of my daily calories minimum, 35-40% of my calories with carbs, no matter what. And that's how it's worked for me. And a lot of people do this keto diet. I'm not a fan of diets. I just think if it's called a diet, get rid of it. It's going to restrict you of something, right? I'm all about lifestyle. My brand's all about lifestyle and everything in moderation. Awesome. And just making working out fun, making nutrition fun. Yeah, you could have your cupcakes, your bagels or whatever, all those stuff that you love, the pizzas. I love pizza. I eat it, right? But I know if I'm going to eat a pizza, I'll hold myself accountable. I'll enjoy it, get back to the next day and not stress. And I know that, okay, like I probably monitor my calories throughout the day. Like some people, where people I feel that make a big mistake is that if they know they're going to have a really high calorie meal, they'll eat the same way throughout the entire day. They'll still have their breakfast, they'll still have their lunch, they'll still have their dinner, right? And that what causes people to get over their calories. Instead of doing what I do now, what I used to do is like, okay, I'm going to have a pizza at night, I'll still eat normal, I'll still have my breakfast, whatever, whatever. Now, if I know I'm going to have a big meal, I'm going to have a social event or a party, I know it's going to be a high calorie dinner, I'll eat less throughout the day, I'll sip on coffee, whatever, and then in the end of the day, I'm probably still at my maintenance, right? Whereas a lot of people will be like, we'll go over and it all adds up. I tell people it just all adds up. I don't care if you're 400 calories over, 500 calories over, but if you do that continuously, day after day after day, that's what people gain weight. Hmm. Same thing with losing weight. You can't, this is my pet peeve. People that say they're weekend warriors, I eat healthy Monday to Friday and Saturday and Sunday do whatever I want. In the end, it's weekly average, say, of the calories. I don't care if you eat the healthiest, if you're like 100% healthy throughout the week, and then on the weekend you have your cupcakes, everything, and then you still go over your calories throughout the week, you're gonna gain weight. So you can enjoy on the weekend, yeah. But people think they, because they're so good during the weekdays, they can do whatever they want on the weekends, right?
Do you allow your clients a little bit of leeway during the week? Do you recommend being 100% strict during the week, healthy foods, hit the macros, or do you allow them, say for instance, like little treats at night, or as long as they hit their macros and calories, that's all you're concerned about?
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm all about lifestyle. Like I said a couple minutes ago, I'm all about lifestyle. I remember with my first ever client, I'm not going to mention his name, but you've seen him a couple of times. He went from probably 230, 240 pounds. And I told him, I said, I don't need you to go cold turkey on me. Just give me 6 months out of your life, 6 to 8 months, I'll change your life, I'll get you down to whatever, and you'll feel great about yourself. And now, he's a beast in the gym. He's 180, 85 pounds now. He loves working out. He never wants to stop working out. He is a lifestyle for him. He still enjoys his pizza. He still enjoys his ice cream, whatever. But it's now a lifestyle for him because he knows if he eats his ice cream, if he eats his pizza, he knows that, like, okay, now I work out. Now I could monitor. And then everything is just in place for him now. And a lot of my clients know who he is. Like a lot of my clients are friends with him. And he was the one that basically started my business, him and my other buddy. And they were my first clients. And I, especially one played basketball, but this guy was the one that saw the biggest transformation. And it's now a lifestyle for him. He's not stressed at all. He still lives his life. He just now is portion control, everything. Like it's just, like I said, it's a lifestyle. Like he doesn't restrict himself of anything. It's not a diet for him. Fitness is fun for him now. And that's what I preach.
And does he follow a fasting approach too?
He actually does now. He does. He didn't at the beginning, and now he told me he actually did it without even knowing at the beginning. A lot of people do it without knowing, right? A lot of people don't eat breakfast. They'll wake up, go to work for their 9 till 5 or whatever, 9 till 6 job, and they won't eat till 12 o'clock. But it doesn't matter. They'll still binge at night, right? Still the treats at night. And then in the end, they're over their calorie limit, right? So he actually fasts now. Like a lot of people have messaged me on Instagram, like I said before, about how do you do it, intermittent fasting. Like I already do it, right? Some people I already don't eat breakfast. I go, so, but how do you eat? He goes, well, you know, or whoever it is, a woman or a guy say like, but I binge at night, right? I binge. And then I just say, well, you're fasting, great, but it's not a magical weight loss tool. You're still going over your calorie limit. It's going to add up time after time. So yeah, some people just do without knowing.
Yeah.
And they think because they don't eat breakfast, they can do whatever they want, but it just doesn't work that way. So for me, intermittent fasting is now a lifestyle. I guess you can't say I'm doing intermittent fasting because I'm not really doing the 16-8. Sometimes I'll do it, but I'm fasting, and it's just a smaller calorie window for me to get my calories in, and that's how I live my life now. And it's enjoyable for me. It works for me, doesn't work for everyone. And with my lifestyle, with my job, my career, it just works. I work from 4 to 8 in the evening, then I eat my big, humongous dinner at night. And people are like, oh my God, your plate's so big. I'm like, because I can, right? So it's when I see people eat dinner and then their desserts. It doesn't matter. If your maintenance is 2,000 calories, you're eating 2,500 calories over time. That's over 7 days. That's 1 pound of body weight you're going to gain, right? So I love it. I preach it to people. If it doesn't work for them, I'm not going to be like, you have to, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I always tell people, well, two things. Try it out, right? Like we were talking about, 7 to 10 days, if you can stick to it 7 to 10 days, after 7 to 10 days, if it doesn't work for you, throw it out. That's one thing. And the other thing, we're talking about MyFitnessPal. I think everybody would benefit of some kind of measure in their food just for their own education, right? It doesn't have to be a long-term thing, but if they're doing MyFitnessPal and measuring their food religiously for 1 to 3 months, it's going to give them a better idea when they start estimating on their own and eyeballing things on their own, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I did. I always tell people, I don't want you to be so down on my fitness pal, but don't be stressed about it. Just measure your food for a week. Maybe what you think, eat the exact same things you were eating before and see if you're actually going over every single time. And I tell people that. I say, just download it for like 3-4 days and eat, and don't even worry about it. Just eat exactly what you usually eat. And put it in. And you think you're eating, say, 2,000 calories, maybe you're actually eating 3,000.
That's exactly it.
And it happens. And they're like, oh, why can't I lose weight? Why am I maintaining my weight? Why am I not losing weight? I go, just download it for 3 days and eat exactly the same. And they're like, holy crap, I'm actually eating 800 more calories than I actually am supposed to. And that's what happened to me. I was never fat. I just was kept going over and over every single time. All the healthy foods in the world, always ate healthy. I was always even, not even 80-20. I was like 95-5. I still am. But I enjoy it more. I'm allowed eating humongous meals. I don't mind. I know I'm not going to gain weight. It's just enjoyable for me. People should always, at least for a week, see what they're actually having. And then after that, they're like, okay, maybe instead of a whole sweet potato, have a 3/4 one. And then it all adds up. All those small eating habits. Like I told you before, that guy that one of my first ever clients that saw the crazy results, I just said, be better than you were before. That's what I tell everyone. If you're having McDonald's 4 times a week, have it 3, and then have it 2, and then have it 1, and then all of a sudden you're like, I don't need that crap anymore. And then all of a sudden that habit's out of the way. That could be, I don't know, that one small habit could be, let's say, 1,000 calories a week. And that's just on one small bad habit, right? And then all over time, imagine adding to 3,500 calories is a pound of body fat. Over the course of a week, imagine you train three bad habits. That's what I try to tell people. It's not just one habit. It can be even 400 calories. Like even if you have 2 Cokes a day, say that's 400 calories, take that away. That's one small habit where you're going 400 times 7. That's almost a pound of body weight just from the Coke. Yeah. The pop.
And it's such a small change, and you're going to have such a big...
And that's one small bad habit. Imagine changing the Coke, the pop, and, I don't know, the McDonald's. That could be 2 pounds of body weight a week, and that's only 2 small habits. And you can still have your McDonald's, but instead of having it 4 times, have it 3 times. So 1,000 calories a week plus the Coke, that adds up. That could be 1.5 pounds a week just from like 2 small bad habits. And you can still enjoy your McDonald's, just have it 1 last time.
That's awesome, man. Love that approach.
Yeah.
Did you get certified in any nutrition?
I have Precision Nutrition.
I saw that, yeah.
I'm a PN1 coach, according to the website. And that just allows me... I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not authorized to give any nutritional programs to. And I don't even want to do that. I don't want to give meal plans to people because I think meal plans restricts people. I just like giving guidelines. And I'm allowed giving guidelines because... I could say, okay, this should be your grocery list. That's what you should focus on. I love giving guides. I don't like giving diets and plans. Even with working out, I'm all about guiding, using more of a guide. Okay, focus on endurance for the first couple weeks. Okay, don't do exactly running, but like do something that you enjoy. Doesn't have to be heavy barbell squats, but do some sort of squat variation that you enjoy. Just a guide. Squat. Not barbell squat, not so specific. I don't like specific. Because if I give someone, they think they have to do it. Mm. Right? I've had a lot of my clients have nutritionists that tell people, that give people meal plans. And I'm telling you, they'll go out to eat and they'll be like, oh, it's not my chicken and vegetables, so I cannot have it. If I give someone a guide and say, stick to your, get a protein, get some greens in there, they can have whatever they want as long as there's a protein and green in there. So that doesn't restrict anyone.
It's really empowering too, and liberating. Yeah. Takes the stress off.
Yeah. Right. I'm all about guides.
That's sweet, man.
Yeah. Specific is just, it's too restrictive.
So you've been a trainer for a year and a half?
Only
now?
A year. Like a year and a bit.
That's amazing.
So what happened was, I had my first couple clients before. So that tryout I had was late October, early November 2016. Yes, 2016. But before, in the summer from May until August, I was training those two of my friends. And this was just like totally, like I didn't have any business yet. I was just training them on the side. And they're like, you should be a trainer. And I said, I've always wanted to be one, but I'm going to play hockey. I'm going to do it. I'm training one summer. I can't start any business now. I've got to focus on hockey or training for hockey. And then it didn't work out. And then this was a guy that just randomly called me N Fitness one day. And that's my brand. It's called N Fitness. And it just stuck with everyone. Are you training with N today? I'm doing a workout with N today, N Fitness. No one ever calls me No anymore. Everything's about N Fitness. So I always want to change my brand to like something elite athletic, like something more, not just about like, and not nothing about N Fitness. And it just stuck. And that's why a year later, a year and a half later, it's still N Fitness, because everyone knows me as N Fitness over even Noah or Noah Schwartz or Schwartzy or whatever, where I used to be called Schwartzy in hockey. And it just, I never changed the name. It stuck. It's a brand, right? So if a brand's going to stick and keep in people's minds, then why would I change it? Even if I want to change it, right? There's no point.
You know what the cool thing is about N is that in science, it's a sample size, right? So you could also flip it. Like N equals one is sample size of one. And your whole thing is everything needs to be individual.
That's actually really cool.
Right?
So, well, the cool thing is that the N didn't have to stand for Noah. It could, like, I would think like natural or whatever. So no one knows what the N stands for. They think it's Noah. I haven't called it anything yet, but that's actually a good point.
So you have a huge range of knowledge when it comes to training. Where did you learn all of it? Was it through your sports throughout the years? You just learned it from other trainers?
I always, for the past, I don't know, since maybe 16 years old, I was always into fitness. And again, like I said at the beginning, I have two torn ligaments in my hips. Always doing physio, always doing chiro, always doing rehab, whatever, always playing hockey. I always learned and I always studied fitness. How do you train as an athlete? What muscles do you need to use? I know every muscle in my hip because I'm just hurt from my, like I just have a bad hip, right? So I obviously took kinesiology courses, whatever, but I was always my passion. I have my degree in finance, but I always studied fitness, nutrition. I always looked everything up, read articles, whatever. And then over time, like at the beginning of my business, trust me, I had to learn so much. I thought I knew everything, but I didn't. I actually did an internship with a gym called Elite Training Systems in Whitby last summer. And this was the Anaheim Ducks NHL team strength and condition coach. And I learned a ton from him as well. So even when I was training, when I was playing hockey, I learned a ton. Fitness programs, what to work on, phases throughout the summer, or whatever, more on mobility, core. That's why I love core. And just more about feeling good first and then looking good second. But this ETS guy, Mark Fitzgerald, helped me a ton. And he's the Anaheim Ducks strength and conditioning coach. And there was NHL players there. There was NFL players. And just watching them and how they train, in my mind, I was like, okay, like these guys, even for the first like 6 to 8 weeks, they're not drenched in sweat by the end. They're feeling better because they're working on their mobility. And then that's what got me to the point where I said to my clients, it's not always about sweating and killing yourself, feeling sore the next day. That's bad. Some people don't even want to come back after that. Yeah. So, again, as a trainer, you sometimes can't win. You run a boot camp. Someone doesn't sweat and they're not happy, but they feel better. So that's really all I care about. So it's not always, people need to understand, it's not always about killing yourself in the gym, sweating your bum off, and feeling sore the next day, because then you can't train for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Right? So it's over, again, the big picture. So that's all I'm about. I hate feeling sore.
Yeah.
Some people love it. but it's not always a good thing.
Yeah.
Because why do you want to take off 4 or 5 days from the gym?
Exactly. And if you look at the CrossFit example, you get these beginners doing CrossFit Olympic style lifts and they're out of commission. Yeah. And apparently CrossFit has given the physiotherapist a huge boom to their business.
Yeah.
Because you get all these beginners that don't know how to lift or lift properly or like activate certain muscles when they're squatting.
Yeah.
And they just destroy their body.
No, 100%. So a lot of people want to do those running classes and all that right off the bat as a beginner. And they don't have the core strength. They don't have the strength to do anything and they're getting hurt. And but on the internet it says you need to hit, you need to sweat, you need to go all out, you need to feel sore the next day. It just, as a beginner, you can't work that way. I get mad at people. It bugs me so much that people fall for the social media has killed us. It's killed us. They see all these crazy stuff on Instagram. They have to look like these people. They need to train like these people. And they're beginners. They never train in their life. So that's another pet peeve I have is that people think sweating and killing yourself every time in the gym is a good thing. And that could also have the opposite effect of seeing results. Your recovery's worse. So instead of working out 3 times a week like you wanted to, you're working out 1 because you're hurt or you can't recover. Mm-hmm. So I used to work out 6 or 7 times a week. I work out less now. I enjoy my meals more now. And I probably eat more unhealthy than I ever did. And I look better, I've lost weight, and I look better, feel better, and lost weight. Working out less, eating bigger meals, and recovering more than I usually do. So that's why I really try to teach people. You don't have to do the 5, 6 times a week. You don't. So that's my philosophy. Some people still love this 5, 6 times a week. And you can. You're allowed. If you feel good and that's what works for you, then work out 5, 6 times a week. But for me, my body doesn't allow that anymore. My hips are bad. I love 3 or 4 times a week for me is enough. And I feel and look better than I ever have in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. Like I see, even me running my boot camps, the stuff I make people do, again, a lot of the stuff has changed in my boot camps. I've learned so much over the years. I do a ton of band work. People are like, I'm doing band exercise in my boot camps. That doesn't happen often. There's not a lot. They're not. Yeah, I love the running, the sprints, and all that for athleticism. But I do so many band stuff, so much band stuff within my boot camp now that people are surprised about. But they're still getting an amazing workout. They're rotating. Your body's supposed to rotate. Your body, you're supposed to work your core in certain areas. And what the band does is allow you to work in a horizontal vector, which dumbbells don't allow you to do. It's gravity coming down with you with a dumbbell. So TRX bands, it has just, my boot camps have changed. It was before jumping, running, chest press, all that stuff. Not saying that doesn't work, but I try to vary it a ton every single week where people are never know what they're gonna expect. And like you brought up before, the CrossFit thing. CrossFit, I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of the Olympic lifts, whatever, but what I am a fan of is the protocols, the every minute on the minutes, the AMRAPs, and the ladder formats of like rep range of 16, 12, 8. That stuff I love, but the CrossFit exercises, the Olympic lifts, I am not a fan of at all. I will never tell people to do it, but what I love about it is the protocols. Protocols I love, but the exercises I am not a fan of. Unless you're an expert. And it's so hard to be an expert at CrossFit. You need a lot of time to figure out all those movements. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know, like what have you done in the past? Like I don't know, did you ever play a sport? Did you ever do bodybuilding? You did bodybuilding, right?
Yeah. So I followed like bodybuilding route. I did 3 bodybuilding fitness shows. Mm. Placed half decently. But I mean, unless you're top 10 in the world, it doesn't pay. So I've decided just to change my training to a little bit less bodybuilding style, maybe a little bit more full body metabolic work.
Yeah.
And I don't care if I'm hitting, you know, chest Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I kind of go by feel. So 1 week I might focus more on back. 1 week I might focus more on arms. Other weeks it's just full body Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
And then maybe one day on the weekend. So it's something that I've figured out probably in the last couple of years that you have to listen to your body. Everybody's individual and you can't follow a bodybuilder's program. First of all, because you're not on the same stuff that they're on. You're not on the same supplements and gear that they're on. So
yeah.
If you're trying to work out 6 days a week and often 2 times a day, your recovery is not going to be the same as them.
Yeah. Well, did you, like, I'm all about sustainability. Did you feel that, like, that was sustainable for you? Like that's what I bring up. Yeah. So if something's not sustainable or it's not going to become a lifestyle for you, yeah. Like I said before, I just don't see it as something that you're going to enjoy. Like you probably loved it so much. You got into it, you were all in, and then all of a sudden it's not sustainable. Your body breaks down, your body fat was probably like 4%, right? It's not the healthy life. I feel like the healthy life is like 10 to 14% body fat. You still look good. You can still see your six pack, whatever. But at least you're living. And I love bodybuilding. It's great. Like it could be a sport for people. If you're not getting paid to do it, especially bodybuilding, then why do it? Because it's not enjoyable. Yeah. It's not. It might be enjoyable for the short term, but the long term, the big picture, it is. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah. No, like you said, short term, great. Got a great set of pictures that put up on Instagram.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's fun, but not sustainable. And it's the same thing with the nutrition. Like, I like your approach with nutrition that you want something that's going to fit the individual and their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even necessarily need to be fasting. It can be like a hybrid system or just whatever works.
Yeah. Anyone could eat anyway. Like, I don't care if you eat at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. or whatever, if you fast, just. If you eat your calories, you're not going to gain weight. I'm going to keep saying it. Like, I don't care if you're at 9, 10, whenever your first meal is, just monitor it. Mm-hmm. Control. It's all about control and quantity and whatever. Like, for example, pizza's not bad for you. Pizza is not so bad for you. It's the quantity that people eat it at and the excess amount they eat. Same thing with, like, healthy fats. No one's eating one tablespoon of almond butter. No one is. I learned the hard way. I was like, oh my god, this is like 400 calories just for the almond, without the bread, without the banana, without all that stuff.
Yeah.
And by the end, it was like 1,000 calorie meal for two pieces of bread and almond butter and banana.
Yeah.
And now I eyeball it, now that I've done my fitness pal for a long time, I know how much one tablespoon is. It's not a lot. But it's monitoring. It's at least knowing how to eyeball certain things. Healthy fats are amazing for you, but that's where people go overboard. Same thing with, like, no one's having a handful of walnuts.
Yeah.
They're having probably three or four servings without even knowing. Yeah. So, especially if you're going to weigh anything, weigh fats. I don't care. Like, protein and carbs, sure, not as important. Fats is the most important to weigh.
It's
At least, like, weigh for a couple weeks and then know how much a tablespoon is or how much a tablespoon of olive oil. Because I see people, like, putting their olive oil or whatever so much on it, and 140 calories, I think that's what it is, or 120 for a tablespoon of any oil. They're having, like, for me, I used to have three or four, and that's just from just from the oil, without the protein, without anything else in the salad, right? So if you're gonna weigh anything, put this on your thing: healthy fats.
Yes.
Or any fats.
It's easy to go over.
Any fats.
Easy to go over.
Yeah.
You mentioned calories in, calories out. But you also advocate, like, healthy eating, obviously.
Yeah.
So where does that leeway come in? Say, for instance, if somebody eats 3,000 calories of just pizza versus 3,000 calories of steak and broccoli, do you ever look at that, like the effects of eating 3,000 calories of, I mean, we talked about pizza's not necessarily bad, but 3,000 calories.
Yeah,
you just look at overall calories, first and foremost.
I still think quality of food is so significant.
Right.
Because if you want to feel good, you can't have. There was, I don't know if you remember this. There was this guy that went through a study, the Twinkie diet.
Right.
So another thing I have a problem with is when people say, oh, I lost 6 pounds in 1 week. Like, I'll just eat 1,000 calories a day and I'll lose 1,000 pounds. How do you feel? Like, yeah, 6 pounds is great, but I feel that under-eating so much is also could have an opposite effect on you. Or, like, the Twinkie diet. This guy ate Twinkies, I don't know how long it was for, but he lost weight. Like, that's the science of that just wanted to show if that calories in, calories out is actually science. You could have whatever. Like, how does your body work? If your goal is just to lose weight, sure, eat less. Mm. If you want to look good and feel good, 80%, 20. I tell people that. 80-20 rule. 80% quality, 20% soul food, you could say, what you love. So like this Twinkie diet, this guy all he ate was Twinkies and he lost weight. And people are like, oh, I could have whatever I want and whatever. But you can, if you want to lose weight, just don't eat. I tell you, okay, don't eat, fast, and you'll lose weight. But how is your body going to look, right? So you still need the micronutrients. You still need the nutrients, the vitamins, the minerals, and everything. So if you're having 80% healthy foods and 20% whatever you want, but still controlling your calorie intake, you're going to feel great and look great. So if you just eat pizza, yeah, you could lose weight. I could have an extra large pizza myself every day for whatever, 2,500 calories and lose weight, but will I feel good? Will I be able to sustain my training? Probably not, right? So that's how I look at it. People eat whatever they want if they want to lose weight, as long as they're under their calories. But quality of food, if you want to feel good and look good in the end, 80-20. Eat what you want on the 20%, but just stay within your calories.
Yeah.
And you'll feel good.
Yeah. Now, are you also guiding them towards different macronutrients? So we have the calories, and then do you tell them, okay, eat 150 grams of protein, 100 grams of carbs, fats, or are you just looking at overall calories? You just want them to hit their calories?
I just, a lot of the time, I don't want to tell people, especially if they're beginners, of have this many calories. Because at the start, if they're overweight and they want to lose weight, all they need to do is eat cleaner. Because if they eat cleaner, that's the first step for me. I always say, okay, don't even worry about calories or whatever, just eat cleaner. And then all of a sudden, you're eating more veggies instead of having a cookie. That could be 200 calories just on one meal, and it all adds up, like we talked about before. So the first step, just eat clean. Eat slowly, eat clean, eat to 80% full, and that's it. And then usually what I'll tell people, okay, you've completed that. I usually split it up into tasks and skills. So if you complete, Precision Nutrition actually taught me this. So they said, don't even worry about what anyone eats. Just tell them, step one, I think it was like eat to 80% full. I don't care what you eat, just eat to 80% full. This is a whole year long process, big picture. And then if they complete that task, they know how to eat to 80% full. Second step, I think, was like eat a protein at every meal. You could have your cupcakes or bagels, whatever, but if you're gonna have a bagel, have salmon on the side or whatever. Then they know, then all of a sudden, maybe the third step, they're not actually having that whole bagel, they're having protein, saving calories, eating healthier foods. It's step by step. This was like a year, I remember I learned it, it was one of the chapters and it was actually amazing. It was like, it was talking about the psychological way to approach nutrition. And this is what they said. They said, never tell anyone, for a beginner especially, don't just tell anyone, okay, here's a diet plan, go get it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like telling someone to, here's a barbell, here's two plates, go squat. Not everyone can do that, right? Mm-hmm. But an intermediate or advanced guy could do it, but not a beginner, woman or guy. It just doesn't work. You can't just tell someone to go get two plates, go squat two plates, go bench two plates. Everyone's different, everyone needs a different process, you could say. Like the 80% full, step one, complete that, you're good. Now you know to eat 80% full, not 100%, then you completed that skill, you know how to do that, now eat a protein every meal. And then there's step by step by step, and then all of a sudden you're completing all those first six, and then I think whatever that seventh or eighth one was maybe cut out processed foods. And then by step nine, you're not eating processed foods, you're eating 80% full, you're eating a protein every meal, then all of a sudden the weight comes off and off and off. It was really cool. Mm. I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
I always said to people, okay, eat clean.
Yeah.
But not everyone knows what eat cleaning means.
That's great, man. Just a few small changes, all of a sudden they have a perfectly structured diet plan.
Yeah.
Well, diet plan, eat way of eating, right?
Without restricting so much. Mm. Just, you can still have your, like step one, eat the exact same way you were eating before. Don't change a thing, just eat to 80% full. Don't stuff yourself. And then the protein, and then all of a sudden the protein leads to less of other stuff. And then one of them, okay, have a veggie at every meal. Then that veggie, those extra veggies make you full instead of maybe having, I don't know, a humongous potato on the side, which is very healthy, but quantity matters. So it was pretty cool, especially for a beginner. They don't know, you can't just tell someone to eat clean because they don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. They think it's like chicken and broccoli bland, and they can't do that. It's not sustainable. So step by step, that's how I try to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let's try to work it.
You mentioned when you were a hockey player, you were eating like 225 grams of carbs. Have you found
probably more than that?
Even more than that?
Oh my God! I ate when I played hockey. I ate so much food, and I always was trying to figure out, like, even in the summer when I was off of hockey, when I was training for the next season, I still ate the same way. I was eating so healthy, like just everything was healthy. But it probably came to in the end was the fats. I would just put almond butter, walnuts, all this stuff. It was obviously I'm getting the nutrients. I felt great. But I was like, I'm not dropping weight, and I'm training so hard. And then that summer, last summer, the 2016 summer, when before that pro tryout I had, that's when I started taking portion size seriously, and just weight just dropped. And I'm like, it was never what I was eating, it was how much.
Now that you're doing the fasting, do you find that you're eating way less carbs? Or we talked about keto, and you're not really for keto, but you're not eating as much carbs as you were back when you were training with hockey?
Probably not, no. I just feel when I wasn't really controlling what I was how much I was eating when I played hockey. I was just eating healthy and eating a lot because I needed it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't about weight loss when I played hockey, right? But until I wanted to get faster and stronger, that's when I actually took it seriously. I'm not gonna say keto is bad. I just think that, like, I love carbs. I'm not taking. It's restricting. Mm-hmm. Like I said at the beginning of the interview or of the podcast, I said, I hate restricting. I hate diets. I think telling someone to go on a diet is the first thing that's going to happen is going to restrict them of something they love. And I don't like that.
Mm-hmm. It's not so sustainable.
Unless you're having, like, you get bloated from this and whatever, then you obviously can't have it. But it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's funny, everybody jumping on the keto bandwagon and... But long term...
Exactly. Short term is, again, carbs is water. Right, so you don't have carbs for a week, you're obviously going to drop weight. You lose all that water weight. I don't know. I've never been a fan of all these diets, this keto diet, whatever. It just restricts people. I know people that have tried it and now are heavier than they were before because they just, the second you eat carbs again, your belly just, it's just not sustainable. Mm-hmm. I'm all about sustainability. Mm-hmm. Anything that doesn't make it long-term success, I just don't care to even put you on it. I'll never do that. To anyone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Talk about the playoffs. Talk about the Leafs playoffs. So what do you see
there? Oh my God. So last night's game wasn't great. I'm the biggest Leaf fan in the world. There's no bias whatsoever here. I believe they are good enough to make the cup. I actually tweeted this the other day. They remind me of the Penguins the last couple years. Obviously, they don't have the superstars they had. They don't have the Crosby, Malkins, Kessels. They're a little bit behind with Matthews, Nylander, and Marner. But I compare them because goalie-wise, they're probably equal. Murray and Anderson, probably equal. Anderson might be a little better. Then they go to their D. Their D are not good enough to win the cup, the Leafs, but they're good enough to... The goalie's good enough to bail out their defensemen. And Penguins haven't had good defensemen in the past 2 years. And then I went to the forwards and I said, who has more depth? I feel like the Leafs have more depth. So other than the superstars... The Leafs are right there with the Penguins, what they were for the past two years. Hmm. And I really, like, last night's game was really bad, but it's a 7-game series for a reason, right? So,
and the cool thing about Raptors, too, is same kind of thing as you were talking about with the Leafs. They don't have necessarily a massive superstar, but they have a lot of good guys that can play well together, and their bench goes pretty deep, too, which is a pretty big factor when it comes to, especially later in the playoffs, you need guys that can come off the bench and play well.
Yeah, well, the reason no one believes in them and the way they've struggled the last 2 years, the Raptors, is they changed their whole philosophy this year. They're passing the ball more, they're spreading out the floor more. And in previous years, it was DeMar ISO, DeMar ISO, DeMar ISO, and it was so easy to defend them in the playoffs, and that's why everyone ripped them of, okay, they're never going to win the playoffs because they legit play the exact same way they do in the regular season. So what I'm nervous about is that when it's a tight game, they're going to go back to what they were last year, and DeMar is going to take the ball and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, going to a Raptor playoff game is more exciting than going to a Leaf playoff game.
There's something about the energy in
there. The energy.
It's crazy.
I love the Leafs. It's just too corporate in there. It's just too... I went to the last Washington game last year in game 6 when they had to win. It was dead in there. And you go to a Raptor game and everyone, no matter what. Good for them. How many podcasts have you done?
This will be number...
I'll put it on my Instagram. You put it up, I'll say, Kat, like, we'll be on your website or something.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Biceps and Banter with Brandon Crow. If you like our show, do us a huge subscribe, toss a review on iTunes, or maybe share the show with your friends. And if you want to know more, find us at fastingftw.com. Our Patreon is patreon.com/fastingftw.